This message is presented to you by Pastor Cliff Reynolds and Word Alive Church in Elwood City, PA. For more information, visit wordalivechurch.info.
Praise God. Let's turn to Luke chapter 5. I think I mentioned this a little bit earlier about the power of the Lord was present to heal. Luke chapter 5, go there with me if you would. Luke chapter 5. And beginning with verse 17, Luke 5, 17. One day while Jesus was teaching, some Pharisees and teachers of religious law were sitting nearby. It seemed that these men showed up from every village in all Galilee and Judea, as well as from Jerusalem. And the Lord's healing power was strongly with Jesus. The King James Version says, the power of the Lord was present to heal. The power, the Lord's power, His anointing, was present to heal. Some men came carrying a paralyzed man on a sleeping mat. I tell you, these are four crazy friends. You know, if you're getting a healing situation, you need to have four crazy friends that'll help you, right? Took them up on a roof. Amen. They tried to push through the crowd to Jesus, but they couldn't reach him. So they went up to the roof, took off some tiles, and lowered the sick man down into the crowd, still in his mat, right in front of Jesus. And I can picture Jesus in that living room, and all of a sudden, dust and straw and stuff starts falling from the ceiling. And back up and look, and here they make a big hole in the ceiling, and whoop, here comes this guy. They lowered him, his four crazy friends. Lower him right down into the living room where Jesus was teaching. And so, see. Oh, yeah, 19. Verse 19 says, but they couldn't reach him, so they went up. Tell lowered him, sick man down in the crowd. Seeing their faith. Now, Jesus saw their faith. You say, can you see faith? Well, faith was in action, wasn't it? The Bible says, really, that faith is an act. The Bible says that faith without corresponding action is dead, being alone. So we might have faith, he says, but put some action to your faith, in other words. Corresponding action to your faith. And when they did, in other words, they couldn't get in the front door, couldn't get in the back door, the cellar door, whatever. Hey, I said, well, we'll do something unique. Let's go up on the roof. We're going to get this guy in here, right? Seeing their faith, Jesus said to the man, son, your sins are forgiven. Wow. Well, he tells us in John chapter 20, whosoever sins you remit shall be remitted. Whosoever sins you retain shall be retained. So in other words, he's told us that we can go and minister the gospel and get people set free from their sins. Who does this man think he is? The Pharisees and teachers of the religious law said to each other, this is blasphemy. Who but God can forgive sins? Well, he is God. He's deity. The Word made flesh and dwelt among us. You know, there's a scripture that says, he that believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. The word Christ means the anointed one. We've got to believe that Jesus is the anointed one, that he is God. You know, that's why some of these, if I might say so, Jehovah's Witnesses and Mormons and so forth, who do not believe that he is deity, I question whether they can even be born again. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ, the anointed one, is born of God. That's what it says over there in 1 John chapter 5. So, who can forgive sins but God alone? Well, that's who's talking here. God himself. Jesus knew what they were thinking, so he asked them, why do you think this is blasphemy? Is it easy to say your sins are forgiven? Is it easier to say that? Or get up and walk? I will prove that I the Son of Man have the authority on earth to forgive sins? Then Jesus turned to the paralyzed man and said, stand up, take up your mat, and go on home, because you are healed. Glory to God. He says, it's not any harder to forgive sins than it is to heal. It's not any harder to heal than it is to forgive sins. He has power to do both. Right? And so, he says, immediately as everyone watched, the man jumped to his feet, picked up his mat, and went home praising God. Hallelujah. Everyone was gripped with great wonder and awe, and they praised God, saying over and over again, we have seen amazing things today. I think in the King James it says that they glorified God. Is that correct? Anybody have the King James? Is that what it says? They glorified God. Well, you know, I'd heard this taught many times in the past years that there was only one person that got healed, because even though the power of the Lord was present to heal everyone, only one person got healed because only one person acted in faith with his four crazy friends. And that's true up to that point. But when they saw the miracle, what happened? They glorified God. And I believe, now this is just Cliff Reynolds, this isn't Bible, it's just my opinion. I believe that once they glorified God, then there were other people that were, their faith was stirred, and they too got up and were healed as well. Glory to God. So there was more than one, perhaps, that was healed. When they began to glorify God, something happened. The power of the Lord was increased. There was a corporate anointing. I'm telling you, we come into worship in here and we begin to praise Him. The corporate anointing fills this place and miracles begin to happen. That's why we've got an anointed worship team that is sensitive to the Holy Spirit and knows how to flow in the Holy Ghost. And we are blessed to have that here. Do you know that? Because that invokes the manifested presence. And then what happens? Miracles begin to happen. Healings begin to happen. Word of knowledge, the gifts of the Spirit go into operation. Whew. Thank you, Lord. Put those points up that I taught last week. If you would put those 10 points up. We'll not get to all 10 of them tonight, but we'll just kind of review a little bit here what we said last week. Yeah, just one at a time. Okay, is it up there? Oh, there it is. Number one, refuse to allow fear to discourage your faith. Keep fear out of your life. Fear will stifle your miracle, stifle your receiving, stifle your healing. And that's why at the very onset of fear, we need to kick it out. We need to rebuke fear. Fear is a spirit, and it's not from God. Yes, we have a reverence and a fear of God, but God does not want you to fear anything else. The fear of man brings a snare or a trap, the Bible says in Proverbs 29. I think it's verse 15. But whoso putteth his trust in him shall be made safe. Faith and fear are opposites, so be sure that when fear comes on the scene, you say, I rebuke fear in Jesus' name. Get out of here. I'm going to stay in faith. Well, you might not make it to the end. Get out of here in Jesus' name. I rebuke you. Go from me now. Amen. So refuse it. Point number two. Healing is encompassed within salvation. Healing is part and parcel to your salvation. Salvation, yes, it's forgiveness of sins, but it is the Greek word sozo, S-O-D-Z-O, which means all-encompassing, soundness, wholeness, deliverance from temporal evil. All of those things. God wants you whole. He not only wants you set free from sin and bondage, He wants you whole. He wants you complete. He wants you sound, having a sound mind, glory to God. Having a stability in your life and being healthy and having your needs met. Amen. Like that scripture Adrian gave us. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Amen. Glory. Amen. So, healing is God's will. It's all through the scriptures. In fact, let me just take a minute right now and give you some so that you don't think I'm just making something up. Take a look at Exodus 15. I think that's where they threw the tree in the waters at Marah. Yeah, the bitter waters, you recall that? And he said in verse 26, 15, 26, and said, if thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, and will do that which is right in his sight, and wilt give ear to his commandments, and keep all his statutes, I will put none of these diseases upon thee, which I have brought upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord that healeth thee. I am the Lord that healeth thee. One translation says, I am the Lord that will make you immune from disease. Oh, glory. Do you think he can protect you from corona? I do. I believe he can. I know he can. Amen. Exodus 23, 25. Look at this one. 23:25. Don't condemn yourself if you did get corona. Just get through it. Exodus 23:25 says, and you shall serve the Lord your God, and he shall bless thy bread and thy water, and I will take sickness away. Everybody say away. Away. He will take it away. Take it away from the midst of thee. God wants to take it away from the midst of thee. What did he say? He'll bless your bread and bless your water and take sickness from the midst of you. Thought I had a joke here somewhere regarding that. If I can find it here. How about this? A waiter brings his customer the steak he ordered with his thumb over the meat while he's carrying the plate. He has his thumb on the meat. What's the matter with you, putting your hand on my food like that? Yelled the customer. What? Answered the waiter. You want it to fall on the floor again? All right, anyhow. God says he'll bless your bread and bless your water. And what'll he do? Take sickness from the midst of you. Pray over your food. Pray over your water. Pray over your bread. And when you take it, believe that it's going to minister health and healing to you. Why? Because of that promise. This is a promise that God has given us, that he will do just that. So take the time to do that. Take the time to take communion. Yes, in your own personal home. Take communion. It's the meal that heals. It's a sacrament of the church, the ordinance of the church, along with water baptism. By the way, you saw our tank over here, didn't you? See that tank over there? You're experimenting with it today with the heater, putting the heaters in it. Huh? And go, oh, we got the steps. Who brought the steps? Bob brought the steps. All right. We got steps for it now, too. There's some water in it, too. But it's not only about that deep, right? Anyhow, we could do a water baptism service Sunday. But be thinking about that. If you've never been water baptized, hallelujah. All right. I'm excited. Okay, yeah. He'll bless your bread and bless your water, and he, what'll he do? Take sickness from the midst of you. Deuteronomy 7, verse 15. Oh, glory to God. Deuteronomy 7, 15. That's the other sacrament of the church. Baptism, the other one is communion. They're also called the ordinances of the church. Baptism and communion. Did you get that? 7:15 of Deuteronomy says, And the Lord will take away. Here's that take away again. We just read it. He will take away sickness. He wants to take it away. That's God's will, to take it away. Yeah, you might have been hit with something, but God wants to take it away. You might have been hit with leukemia. God wants to take it away.
Amen. Amen.
Remember Pastor Marvin prayed for that little baby, a little child that had leukemia. It was almost unheard of, a child having leukemia. But he prayed for that child, and that child was totally healed of leukemia. Glory to God. Why? Because God says, beloved, I wish above all things, 3 John verse 2, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospers. Glory. So what's he say here? The Lord will take away from thee all sickness, and I will put none of the evil diseases of Egypt, which thou knowest, upon thee, but will lay them upon all them that hate thee. He will take away sickness. Hallelujah. Matthew chapter 8, look at this. You say that was the Old Testament. All right, let's look at some New Testament then. Matthew chapter 8, look at this. Matthew chapter 8. What point was that? I don't know. It's the Lord's will to heal, right? Number two. Okay. Okay. Matthew chapter 8, verse 2 says, and behold, there came a leper and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. If you will, you can make me clean. If you will, you can make me clean. God, I know you have the power to make me clean, is what he's saying, but will you? Will you do it for me? Do you get that? The man knows that he has the power. He's seen him do that, but, you know, sometimes we're like that. We think, well, wait a minute. Yeah, he'll heal so-and-so and so-and-so, but me? Come on. Listen, if he's done it for one, he'll do it for everyone. And so how does Jesus respond? And Jesus put forth his hand and touched him, saying, here's his will. I will. You want to know God's will? I will. Be thou clean. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. One translation says, where he says, I will, he says, of course I want you to be cured. Yet another translation says this, I am desiring it with all my heart that you be healed. I am desiring it with all my heart. And immediately, his leprosy was cleansed. Thank you, Lord Jesus. When Trina Hankins, Mark Hankins' wife, had a brain tumor. She just soaked up the scriptures. And they prayed. And Mark Hankins, she was in a hospital room. And they were going to do surgery and go in and remove this tumor that she had in her head. Mark Hankins posted a big, heavy set lady outside her room and wouldn't let anybody in that was going to speak any negative or anything doubtful or anything contrary to what they were believing for. I think he said, maybe put a sign on the door, no unbelief allowed. Well, they wheeled her down the hall to do the surgery, and she's laying on the cot praying in the Holy Ghost. And I mean, she had joy. Imagine that. Somebody's about to drill into your brain, and she's praising and with a smile on her face and having joy because of the promises of God. The doctors went in and the tumor was gone. They came back out and said, we don't understand it. It's not there. It's gone. We didn't have to go any deeper. It's gone. A miracle of Almighty God. And I was just listening a little bit to Trenor Hankins today on my iPad. And she's totally healthy. Got long hair, grew her hair back, everything. We serve a faithful God. Like Gail was saying, he's trustworthy, dependable, reliable. Glory to God. And it's his will. Of course I want to be. I want you to be healed. I am desiring it with all my heart. Glory.
Hallelujah.
Point number three. God is not making you sick because you did something wrong. God is not using sickness as a tool to teach you a lesson. Stay in the will of God. Because if you get out of God's will and you start living in sin, then you open the door to calamity. But it's not God that's doing it. It's not God that's making you sick. It's not God that's putting cancer on you. It's not God that's putting arthritis on you. It's not God that's using sickness as a tool to straighten your life out. So stop blaming God for the illness. There's a devil loose. And things were unleashed at the fall because of man's disobedience. And these things are around. And sure, things try to come upon us. Yeah, things try to come upon me. They try to come upon you. But we have Jesus, and we have his will, which is his word, and his word is his will. And he says, I am desirous. Would he say, I will what? Desire. I am desiring it with all my heart. That's his will. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So point number four, do not blame God for your illness. Amen. I think we done covered number five, which is apply Exodus 23:25 as you partake of your food. Make sure you pray over your food and believe that he's going to bless your bread and bless your water. And when you take it, it's going to minister healing to you. Let me give you another scripture and then we'll close. Jeremiah 32:27 says, behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me? Is there anything at all too hard for God? There is no such thing as incurable where God is concerned. Brother Hagin had 7 incurable diseases, and God healed him, 16-year-old boy. And he lived to be 86 years old. The doctors told him back then that told the family, you might as well get ready because he's going to die. Well, he trusted God. He believed God and was totally healed. Lived to be 86 years old. My wife, when she was a little girl, had rheumatic fever. She had a heart murmur. Isn't that right? And she had to go to the doctors and get a shot every so often to boost her immune system because it left her kind of weak. How often did you get those shots? Was it once a month, once every 2 weeks, something? She didn't even remember. Often. Dr. Trichler's office, right? Anyhow, she became born again and she started to put the word in her. These promises. Himself took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses. And with his stripes we were healed. Isaiah 53:5, he hath borne our sicknesses and carried our pains. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes we are healed. 1 Peter 2:24, he hath borne our sins in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sins might live unto righteousness, by whose stripes we were healed. That's exactly what Dodie Osteen did too. Put that word in her. But my wife put that word in her and she no longer needs those shots. When was the last, how old were you? You must have been in late 20s, or when you stopped getting those shots, or earlier, long time ago. Once you met me, hooked up with me, that did it. No, once you hooked up with Jesus. Amen. Isn't Jesus good? Come on, let's stand tonight. Let's praise him for his goodness. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. That's how Dodie Osteen was healed from metastatic cancer of the liver. She had 3 weeks to live, 1981. Was totally healed of metastatic cancer. When it's metastatic, that means it's in your bones. It's in your organs. Her son, who was a doctor, came to visit her in Houston. And when he read the chart, he stood outside her door and he wept because he knew it was curtains for her. But she took these promises. She fed on these promises, meditated these promises, put them in her heart. And Dodie Osteen is alive and well today. If you don't believe me, watch Joel Osteen sometime. She's sitting in the front row.
Yes, she is.
That was 1981.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. Woo! His promises are true. We just got to keep putting the word in us. Listen, the devil doesn't want you to put the word in you. He doesn't want you to put scriptures in you on healing. No, but you just buck him every way you can, and you do it anyhow. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Father, thank you so much for your goodness. For this word that's life to those who find it, and health or medicine to all their flesh. Medicine to all their flesh. Thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. You folks all have a great evening. Glory to God.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. For more information, please visit wordalivechurch.info.